Hi, and welcome to this week's Irish Wolves podcast. My name is Tony Lawler, and my guest this week is Ray Moore from the sunny southeast of Ireland in Waterford. Ray will be telling me all about his years supporting Wolves since the 1970s and sharing all the stories of trips to games and meeting various personalities over the years. Hope you enjoy it. Ray.
Hello.
Ray, how are you?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
My first time doing a Zoom, so forgive my fucking stupidness.
I can't see you anyway, but I can hear you.
All right.
How are you?
Should I be doing? I'm not too bad by yourself.
Ah, grand. You're working away today, yeah?
I was working this morning, yeah, for the few hours, so.
All right, busy?
Yeah, busy times, yeah.
Ah, that's good. It's a good complaint in these days.
Absolutely, yeah. It's great to be doing stuff, really.
Yeah. And all the family good, yeah?
All good, thank God. All good.
Great stuff. The weather's not too bad either, so we haven't got much to complain about at the moment, so.
No.
I'm sure that'll change when we start losing a few players.
Sure, we'll have a few coming in as well, hopefully.
Well, yeah, it started well by the look of things anyway, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Hopefully it'll keep going that way. Yeah. Anyway. Sure, to get our ball rolling, I'm just going to ask you, Ray, did you, as my usual questions, did you play football when you were growing up?
I played for a while, but I left school after my intercert, you see.
Yeah, all right.
So I played for a couple of years at a club called Abbeyside, which was my local club.
Yeah.
Played in the back line and in goal, so. Yeah. And I left school around 16, so.
Yeah.
Squash was actually my big sport growing up.
Yeah. That's
yeah, played squash.
That's unusual.
Yeah.
Not many squash players around that you'd hear about.
No, it's a kind of a dying sport. There's no courts even now in Dungarvan at the minute. But it was a hotbed. About 30 years ago, it was the hotbed of us down here.
Yeah, I remember there used to be in Dublin, there was Squash Ireland or something that used to have, I can remember three or four different places where they had squash courts.
Yeah, it was a big, very big back then.
Yeah, tennis has probably taken over a bit more now.
Yeah.
It's been outdoor.
I think the fact that it never made it to the Olympics didn't help it, you know that kind of way.
Yeah. No, I know a couple of lads that played it, all right, but I used to love it. Like, it was great way of keeping fit, you know.
Oh, yeah, quick calorie burn, they call it.
Yeah, it'd been indoors on a small court and that ball flying around like pinball.
That's it, yeah.
So, I know from looking at some stuff that you sent me a few years ago, photographs and that you must have a great collection there. But how did you come across Wolves in your youth? I assume it was in your youth.
Yeah, I've been supporting them since I was 12 or 13, I suppose. I suppose like a lot of people, you spy the shoot in the Match magazine, and I just spotted the Wolves colours there one year, and I'd say they were after winning the League Cup in 78, I started following them.
Yeah.
I just picked them up. At the time, everyone supported Leeds and Liverpool and Man United. So
yeah.
So it was that. I wanted something different, so they just caught my eye. Like,
yeah.
I supported them.
Yeah. It was we're all very much in the same boat, I think, from talking to people, you know, to. If there wasn't a family connection or someone that might that was born in Wolverhampton move over to Ireland, it's kind of, it always seems to be true in these magazines and the colours catching people's eyes, you know. So
yeah,
it's a
I think
a good marketing ploy way back in the 60s and 70s.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So and then sort of from the late 70s, then when did you first get to see Wolves?
My first game kind of came about in a bittersweet way. In May 1989,
yeah,
we were playing Northampton Town. What happened was my sister, rest her soul, was living in England, and she had a little boy there a few months previous to that.
Yeah.
And he passed away in a cot death.
Ah, Lord.
And I was lined up as his godfather. So
yeah.
We never got to go christened, so she came over to Ireland to bury him.
Yeah.
And she kind of could see I was fairly down after it, so I went back with them.
Yeah.
And said, I want to do give you some kind of a treat. Is there anything you'd like to do? And I said, I'd love to see Wolves play.
Yeah.
So she was living down in a place called Breachwater down in Somerset.
Yeah.
So the plan was that herself, her husband, big strapping soldier that he was, or reserve soldier, would come up to Wolverhampton and their daughter, Mairead.
Yeah.
And he was going to come into the game with me.
Yeah.
But there was a bit of crowd trouble around that era.
Yeah.
So he kind of kept in his pants. So he went train spot for the day. My poor sister came in with me anyway.
Yeah.
On the day, it was the John Ireland stand, they called it then, the Steve Bull, as they call it now.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the only proper stand open. I think the South Bank was there as well, like, but the old ground was in a bad way at that stage, and yeah. The pitch was, you really needed blockers to see the players, like, but so that's how my first game came about.
Yeah. So that was you were just starting to come out of the dark days, I think, around 89, you know. So that was probably yeah. it was the start of everything starting to improve then. So
yeah.
Did you go over regularly then after that?
I used to kind of go over maybe once, maybe twice a year. Yeah. I suppose when they were just before 2003, before they got promoted that time.
Yeah.
I was maybe an odd once a season, maybe like.
Yeah, yeah. You didn't get to the playoff final, no?
I did actually.
Another one that got there and I didn't.
And what was more, I was at the semi final against Reading, and that on my list of most memorable games, the atmosphere that night was just they called the Billy White stand, but it wasn't Billy White that night, I can tell you.
Yeah. I was kind of people seem to tend to forget the the semi final stay because we won the final. Everyone seems to kind of forget the two games against Reading and they were tough enough games to get through.
Yeah.
But and as you mentioned there, like, what would have been, I suppose, outside of those two then, what would have been your memorable games over the years that you were at?
One of the ones that catches my mind is actually a defeat when we were playing Blackburn. You might remember the last day of the season, and Blackburn ourselves in Birmingham, any three of us could have went down.
Yeah.
And we were 2-0 down or 3-0 down?
Three
at half time, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And we got one back against Stephen Hunt, curled one in there about 3 or 4 minutes ago, and I was standing behind that goal, and my God.
Oh, in the North Bank.
There was never a defeat cheered so much, like, in fairness.
Yeah.
That one jumps out, like, and of course, we'll say the last games against Doncaster when we were promoted, and Caroline from League One. They were great days too.
Yeah.
I think the Blackburn defeat is kind of well up there, like. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd saying to someone before, I was at a confirmation in Sligo that weekend. I couldn't get over, and I have to say I'm proud to say that I actually cried when Hunt scored and we survived.
Yeah.
I went up to the hotel. I couldn't. My son was texting me, and I looked. It was 2-0 down, and I looked at the phone and it beeped, and I said, it's half time. It's just telling me it's half time. And he said, no, 3-0. And I couldn't take it anymore. Finished the meal, went up to the hotel room and just lay on the bed and kept an eye on the scores coming through. And I think it's kind of forgotten with a lot that's happened since. But, you know, it's a very memorable, very memorable game. And you probably have a couple of others on your list as well.
I remember it was at the Man United we beat one of the days, and I was in the southwest corner, is that what they call it? Yeah, I was there. Was that the day Kenny Miller scored the winner?
Yeah, that was the 2003 in the Premier League one. Yeah, yeah, that was it. Missed. I didn't get to any games that season myself, so I can envy anyone that got over to them. So.
But I've seen a few over the years. Like, I knew I'd been at a Black Country derby, but I was up and I found the programme 1995 against the Albion, 1-1 draw, it turned out to be. That was one of my early games too, like, and people were saying, my God, why are you going to that one? That could be rough, and blah, blah, blah. When I went over first, I used to stay at the Fox Hotel, it was called.
Yeah.
It was up the road from the ground, because back then, like, Dublin was like being over in America when you're down in Waterford, like, so I used to go from Cork. No such thing as over and back in the day, like, so.
Yeah.
And it was nearly a week's wages to go to a game. So.
Yeah.
One of the things we need to be most grateful for is Michael O'Leary, I think, and Ryanair, because they made it accessible for all of us, didn't they?
Yeah, actually, I probably a bit remiss there. I probably should have made him an honorary member of Irish Wolves or something, you know, over the years.
Absolutely.
Because he certainly provided us with plenty of opportunities for getting over to games and, you know. Well,
the big thing is it gives the likes of me a chance to go over back in the day, like.
Yeah, yeah. Even that.
It's a long bit. We'd start at about 1:30. We'd leave here to go to Dublin, I can. It could be 1:30 the next morning by the time we get back again. But
yeah,
it's great to be able to do it.
It is. I mean, I used to hear of guys, and I think a lot of guys still do it if they're going to Manchester or Liverpool and that they, you know, they get the ferry, say, on an early Saturday morning or in the early hours, and, you know, they're coming back then at 2 or 3 in the morning on a ferry on Saturday night, you know, so, like, that's, I mean, the flight being in less than an hour is fantastic, you know.
Absolutely brilliant. Yeah.
Once you get up in the morning, you're flying. That's it. You're away. You know, keep going.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, did you get to many away games over the time you've been over?
Would you believe the only away game I've been to Wolves was that playoff final?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I was at a couple of away games. We'd stay in London and that. I used to be involved in the scouts and we were over seeking campsites. I saw Arsenal and Crystal Palace. I saw Wimbledon against Man United at Plough Lane.
Yeah.
That was a bit funny because rocked up to the ground, I says, can we have tickets for the stand? And your man nearly started laughing at me. It was like a cow shed behind one of the goals, back in the old Plough Lane.
Yeah.
But Arsenal was impressive at the time. I beat to Man United. I got a jaunt through work there. I was up with the prawn sandwich brigade there for a match a few years ago. All right.
How long ago was that?
It was before they put on the extra tier that's there on it now, so it's just going back a little bit.
Ah, yeah, because Old Trafford, yeah, it's a huge stadium now. I remember I went over with similar scouts with the football team I was born as a kid. They brought us over when we were 14. And at Our Luck United were in Division 2 at the time. And it was 74, I think, and they were playing Norwich. And I just kind of see the stadium, well, it seemed huge for a kid, you know, it was a lot smaller then than it is now, you know. But,
in fairness, it's impressive, isn't it?
Yeah. So when did you start bringing the lads over to games, Ray?
So Anthony's first game with me would have been, I brought him to Cork for that pre-season friendly. Remember we did the Irish Wolves at the AGM that night?
Yeah. That was about 5 or 6 years ago, was it?
But that was his first game. So his first game at Wolves then was a massive game. And there's a bit of a story behind it. They were training out in Foto Island, as you know.
Yeah.
I was going to be 50 that summer.
Yeah.
And you might remember meeting Kevin, my brother. He used to be involved with the Man United Supporters Club.
Yeah, met him a few times. Met him in Carton House, I think, as well, yeah.
Yeah. But he went up to Kevin Gallen. He says, it's my brother's 50 in a few weeks. Any chance you'll give him an old top for that? And he said, the man you need to talk to now is that man over there, Steve Morton.
The kit man, yeah.
He said, he's the most influential man in the club. So Kevin went over and he met Steve. And Steve said, look, we can't keep you out here. But he says, if he's ever going over, there's my car. Tell him, give me a shout.
Yeah.
So I said, yeah, right. So we went over for the first game of the season. And I said, sure, I'll send him an email. And I said, yeah. He said, no bother. He said, give me a ring when you're in Wolverhampton.
Yeah.
So I gave him the ring anyway. And he says, the earlier mate you can get here, the better now. He says, because I'll be able to show you around. So we met him by, he gave us a tour of the dressing rooms.
Yeah.
Got us out on the pitch. We were in for all the lads' gear was laid out for the match that day. Like, so
yeah.
Anthony got to try on Ikemi's gloves and old Doherty's top and all this kind of stuff.
But
he presented us then with a signed jersey from the squad and, you know, official authentic certificate to show that it was authentic. Like, so.
Yeah. Oh, that was fantastic. Yeah.
But Anthony's own birthday was in August, so I let him believe then that the jersey was for him. Like, so. He was
buttoned. Yeah.
So that was a first game. So how are we going to top that afterwards?
Yeah, and who was the opposition that day?
Would you believe I can't remember, Tony?
I was wondering when he didn't mention you. But now that's it shows you kind of the connections that you can make with Wolves that, you know, you possibly couldn't make with other the bigger clubs, you know, that there's still that kind of family atmosphere there in a lot of cases, you know. And
I don't know if Martin's still involved, because normally you'd see him in the background, the match beyond the telly, like, but I haven't.
I haven't seen him. Yeah, I'm not sure now. I think he may have left when Kevin Gallen and Kenny Jackett left. I think now, because I remember I met him, I think a photograph with him in Cork that time as well. And I met him that day, and I'd always known the name anyway. So yeah, I don't see. I think he used to do the sales at the end of the season or the start of the season of old training gear, I think, and all he used to organise, you know, where people could buy it, you know.
He was saying he got the job originally as Mick McCarthy's kind of minder, for want of a better word. But he said he was always passionate about Wolves, and it was his dream job then, and he got the Kickmans taken over as the Kickman.
Brilliant, yeah. So
dream job.
Tell you. Yeah. And then just moving on with onto the player side of things, who would be your favourite players over the years?
When I started off, Steve Daly was a classic player at the time. I loved Kenny Hibbett, King John, and Mel Eaves.
Yeah.
Mel Eaves as well. And actually, I met Mel Eaves, would you believe, that day that we got to Jersey.
Yeah.
After the game.
Yeah.
And I put something up on Facebook, and I was going through my old scrapbook, and I put up his player profile. You know, the suit and shoot.
Yeah.
It was just ironic and he had actually seen it a couple of days before we went over. So it was great to meet him.
Yeah.
So after him, then I suppose Steve Bull would have been high up on everyone's favourite list.
Yeah, yeah.
I like Kevin Muscat. I know he was Marmite with supporters, but I liked him.
He's one of those players. He's one of those players probably that you feel like you have to like him, you know, in case you meet him someday. And you have others.
Well, Stephen Hunt.
Yeah.
For his passion, I used to laugh at him. He used to be on the sideline beside Mick. Mick was like an under-16 manager. You're a young fella trying to get onto the pitch. Impression you got from Hunty,
And he got a bit of bad press the time with the Peter Cech incident when he was with Reading, wasn't it?
Reading, yeah.
Yeah, he seemed to get a lot of bad time out of that, you know. Totally accidental from most people's view when they saw it, you know.
Yeah.
But now he's I think he has a pub down in Wexford now, I think, isn't he?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I think that's
where he's... much of him, maybe twice in the telly since, that's all.
Yeah, I think he's on News Talk, I think, as well, is he? Or the talk?
On the ball.
On the sports, sports. And he does commentary and that with them, yeah. So just on from players then, managers, who would have been your favourite managers over the years?
Without a doubt, Mick McCarthy.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
He's definitely the man of the people. I know, again, he seems to get a lot of negative stuff from certain parts of supporters, but he was definitely Merlin the Magician when he took over. He hadn't even a squad of players and what he achieved.
Do
you know?
Oh, that's fantastic,
Whether he could handle big money signings or not, I don't know. But what he did for the club with what he had, I think, is just unbelievable.
He was one of those transition phases where things hadn't been going well. We'd been relegated from the Premier League a couple of years before that, and, you know, it was threatening to get back to the old hovering around the middle of the championship.
Yeah.
And, you know,
he came in.
And he gave us a great boost again. Yeah, some great memories from that era. And it's a pity the way it all ended, but, So what did you think of Nuno now that he's been replaced?
He was the messiah, wasn't he? He was the man of the people as well. But I had to laugh, somebody was in the shop the other day and they says, I suppose you'll be following Spurs now. And I said, I will not be following Spurs. I said, we're Wolves, he's gone, end of story. He was brilliant while he was there, but adios amigos, it's Bruno now.
Yeah, hopefully he'll do. I think they're back they'll be back training now, I think. So it'll be interesting over the next few weeks to see what's coming out, you know, between signings and...
Until the window closes, it's going to be kind of who's coming, who's going, isn't it?
Yeah. It'll all be revealed. Just wanted to ask you, Ray, was I know, as I mentioned earlier, about the photographs you sent to me there a few years ago, and I'd say they're probably tip of the iceberg, but kind of around memorabilia and stuff, what sort of prized possessions would you have relating to Wolves?
I suppose the most prized one, and it's connected to Mick McCarthy again, is when he was in Carton House there with the training squad. You know, the way he stood in for the photos with everyone and that.
Yeah.
But Anthony was with me as a wee small lad at the time.
Yeah.
And Mick was sitting on the ground to eat a bit of grass. So I said, any chance for a photograph? So he said, yeah, sit down there beside me. And I gave my camera to, he's still the official photographer of the club. But whatever he did anyway, the photo never came out.
Yeah.
But... realized it hadn't come out, so I went up to Mick again. I said, that never came out. Any chance we could go again? Like, so at this stage, I had Anthony in my hands, and he could see Anthony was agitated. He said, no, not at all, mate. He says, I'm not taking another photograph. And then he whispers, what are you doing that to get him steady for you? He said, so we snapped that one again.
Yeah.
When we were down on the grass, I had written a best look card for Mick for the season, and Anthony was giving it to him.
Yeah.
So he was passing it over, and his hand over his eye, all shy, like, you see.
Yeah.
That photo went up on the club website.
Yeah.
After Mick was relieved of duties, Wolves contacted Andy Mack, and they said, would you know who the young fella inside his picture is?
Yeah.
So Andy said, I think it's Ray's young fella, so...
Yeah.
They said to Andy, look, they did a lovely canvas of Anthony giving him the card.
Yeah.
If Ray wants that, tell him to contact us and he can just pay for getting the courier over. So that's up in his bedroom inside now.
Yeah. And
but he also signed a few photographs that I had sent him, like, and one of them is, don't show this to Anthony till he's 21. Like, you know, there are a couple of lovely ones like that, and best wishes to Ray and Anthony from Mick.
Oh, right.
So
yeah.
Yeah, they're lovely. They'd be top of the memorabilia stuff.
Yeah, they're great. They're very and very personal. You know, most people would have kind of program signed or whatever. Like, but they're excellent personal pieces of memorabilia. Yeah, God, it's great, great to have stuff like that. But I suppose we'll finish up short. What was the last game you were at in Molineux?
It was actually the 20th of April. Versus Brighton in 2019.
Yeah.
And I'd been struggling to get a ticket, so I got on to Kerry Davies over in the ticket office. And I said, look, we need to book my flights. And you know, you'd have so many, the loyalty pointing to get your ticket.
Yeah.
So she said, what game do you want to pick? And I knew Man United and Arsenal were coming, that they were kind of out of reach. So
yeah,
I said, could I get the Brighton game? I was hoping that there's a lad here from Waterford called Jason Malumbi in their panel at the time.
That's right, yeah.
I was hoping he might get a run out, but he didn't, as it turned out. So that's what I picked him. His uncle is working inside the shop with me, you know.
Oh, right, yeah. Oh, yeah, he's playing with Ireland as well.
He's getting on the team. He was on loan with Preston last year, I think, in Millwall the season before. So.
Yeah, yeah.
But he definitely has plenty of promise, like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's great, yeah. Hopefully he'll be a regular because he seems to be a fine midfield player, yeah. And I assume you'll be hoping to get over next season. What do you think is with the club? What are your hopes for next season?
It'd be great to get into that top six again, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It depends. Like if Bruno's playing this exciting stuff like he's supposed to be playing, it'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It'd be a case of the players having to adjust from the way they've been playing the last 3 years, you know, so and how they'll manage that. But I remember somebody was saying that looking at Moutinho for Portugal, he was playing a much more kind of advanced role. So
a different player altogether, isn't he?
Yeah. So maybe that's a sign of the change in approach for the new season with us. So
hopefully, like, you know, for What did they score? 35 goals all season, was it?
Oh yeah, wasn't a great total now. And imagine if we'd scored a few in the first half, would have been great.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, Ray, it's been great talking to you, and
I'm delighted for yourself and Mick that you know you've been going over there a long time, that you've been able to see a bit of decent stuff for the last couple of years. So yeah.
It's been great, and we're hopefully it'll keep going, and we'll be there'll plenty more memories made. You know, we won't be seeing Europe probably for maybe a year or two, but we'll be happy just with Premier League football. Ray,
that's it.
It's been great, and listen, we'll see you in the new season over in.
Help of God.
All right, we'll see you, Ray.
Thanks.
Take care.
Thanks, Tony. God bless.
See you.
Bye bye.
Bye. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.